Representative Ellick.
Here.
Senator Fredericks. Representative McCarthy. Senator Murphy. Representative Negritz.
Yes.
Representative Coe. Representative Riley.
Here.
Senator Schmidt.
Here.
Senator Schoenberg.
Here.
Senator Severson.
Here.
Senator Trotter.
Here.
Representative Tryon.
Here.
Total of 8 members answering the roll call. Quorum is present. Pardon me, if the clerk could add Senator Fredericks to the roll. Total 9 members answering the roll. Quorum is present. We'll proceed with our business. Item 2 on the agenda today is discussion and votes on the recommendations whether to close the following 4 facilities: the San Orlando Health Center in Rockford, the Illinois Youth Center at Murfreesboro, the Chester Mental Health Center in Chester, the Jack Mabley Developmental Center in Big Sandy. We have before we go down this path with these 4, I think one, as we had these hearings, one common issue that's been raised by several members of the commission to me has been why we've conducted such an exhaustive exercise. We've completed 6 to 7, 7 being next week. That in the larger picture of things, why the administration, we'd like to be told formally why Pierre Marquette and Choate, each of which on the surface would seem to have as equal, if not more, of the criteria that one would be looking for in discussing such an issue, why those 2 were not submitted. So is there anybody from the administration who can tell us verbally and perhaps provide us in writing with a greater justification as to why those 2 weren't submitted? Clerk, please add Representative Poe to the roll, while Secretary Sadler comes forward.
Good morning.
Good morning. Nice to see you.
To the commission. My name is Michelle Sadler, the Secretary of the Illinois Department of Human Services. And my answer is short regarding Jacksonville being on the proposed list of closures versus Choate. One of the reasons that we cited when we talked about the proposed closure of Jacksonville is that within the past 2 years, Jacksonville has been the only one to receive official notice of potential decertification by by the federal CMS, Centers for Medicaid and Medicare Services. Choate has problems, Choate has issues, Choate has a lot of deferred maintenance, but they have not been threatened with imminent decertification. As we were exchanging correspondence with federal CMS, they were actually preparing letters, the letter of decertification for Jacksonville. If we were decertified in Jacksonville, we would lose our federal match, which is 50% of the monthly budget. So that is why Jacksonville got on the list first. I will say that Director Vaught has talked about a phase 3. Even with the aggressive closures that have been proposed, the facilities budget and the DHS budget still has a huge deficit. So depending on what happens today, Choate does have some significant concerns. I do not know what the governor's office would put in phase 3, but that official notice of imminent decertification was what edged Jacksonville onto the proposed list of closures.
Well, the administration always reserves the right to submit facilities for proposed closure at any given time. You say that phase 3, that suggests why don't we go down these one by one? Oh, I'm sorry. I've only had one cup of coffee this morning.
Right. motion to recommend closure on Sierra.
Thank you. Is there a second? Seconded by Senator Trotter. Discussion. Anybody wish to discuss Singer? Senator Searson.
I think after those that were there had a chance to hear from the staff, hear from the community, it's clear that not only is this one of the most cost-effective facilities that the state has, second, it fills a very important divided need, being the only facility in all of Northwestern Illinois, facility that is acts as a, in its role as a triage center, serving nearly 1,000 individuals a year. The only alternatives that were offered at the facility during those hearings were offered from the private sector, saying that they could transition to serve some of these individuals, but the cost would be more than what the current operating cost is now. And second, that it would take in excess of a year before they could even transition to that level. The idea of taking families that are in crisis, who have a severe mental illness, and transporting them to reading this right, either Alton or Chicago, is something that's not acceptable to families that are in crisis. Folks that don't have the ability to travel for hours to meet with a an individual that is in crisis. The average stay in at Singer is around 14 days. So the cost of, again, of transporting these individuals into Chicago or down to Alton, you're talking about three people a day being transported to these facilities. It would be horrendous cost. And then families to try to take off of work, to try to make arrangements to drive to these facilities doesn't make sense. Lastly, there wasn't this whole approach has been interesting as we talked about this hatchet approach instead of a scalpel approach to saving money in our mental health services in Illinois. Makes no sense. If we're serious about trying to save money, let's get in and look at the entire continuum of care we have in Illinois, and is there a better way to deliver that care in a less costly, less restrictive, less bureaucratic, later way, which is something I would certainly be in favor of. But again, there is no plan in place except for dumping these individuals on a community that already has the highest unemployment rates, the highest poverty rate, and the highest crime rate in the state. And to put that onto the local community is unconscionable. And that's why I would urge that this facility stay open until we have an opportunity to come up with a real plan to solve this need.
Thank you, sir. Any other discussion on this?
Thank you very much. And before we go any further, I want to thank all the staff from all the agencies for all their participation in driving all over the state with the rest of us who were outstanding in your work. And even though we drilled you at a lot of those facilities, it was just a part of our process. So I just want to say thank you before we went any further. And on my way over here today, I thought we're trying to do something in 3 or 4 weeks that we've waited 8 years to do. You know, I was a part of the blueprint decision. We we want to close facilities, but taking a look at all the lives of jobs, people in these restaurants is a very, very hard decision to make. When we visited Singer, it's a beautiful day, it's a beautiful facility, and after the hearing that day, we recognized the fact of what Senator Stevenson just brought up. There are a few things that stick in your mind after every one of these hearings. One that stuck in my mind on that hearing is that about the acute psychiatric beds being almost an hour and a half away if we close Singer. To me, as a mental health advocate, that's a huge, huge issue. One of the other things is that the hospitals, jails, and community providers have all come to me saying, what are we going to do? How are we going to take care of these people if you close that facility? Another issue here is we have not had the hearing on, let me comment on that, is community providers, their money was just cut, I think, by $50 million in the last budget. So we're talking about closing that, but then not really having, even if you have some other place, I don't know, but the community providers have lost money. So to put that all on them and the hospitals who are under siege on other respects with the cut of the Medicaid and everything, it's a very, very difficult decision, especially when we're looking at the fragile lives of the mentally ill. So that all comes into the decision. It's just not the one place. It's how it affects the entire mental health system in Illinois. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other comments? Representative Edwards.
I've been thinking about how to approach these decisions because they are very difficult decisions, and I'm just going to say this once with regard to this facility because I have sort of a philosophical way of approaching this. But I very much feel like we can't keep doing the same thing in Illinois state government and expect a different result. And in this kind of environment, and it's happening in other states too, the kind of old decision-making models where it's harm versus no harm or risk versus no risk don't really work. The decisions we're going to have to make are harm versus less harm and risk versus less risk, and because people are going to be hurt by the decisions we make. We also, given sort of the urgency of finding ways to cut back on state government, we don't have the luxury of unlimited time or lengthy time. I wish we did, Representative Bellet, but I don't feel like we do. And we're going to have to make these decisions with incomplete information. And again, there's going to be risk and there's going to be harm that's going to be imposed. And I don't even feel like these decisions are necessarily about savings, because I mean, if we were really about savings, we would do it. You know, we would take the time and find ways to close institutions, get more community-based services. But it's about cost avoidance because we have an immediate problem, and that's not going to get any better with our state resources. Just feel like these are sort of the realities of the things we face, and I found it sort of ironic last night that one of the witnesses. Was talking about how we ought not to be imposing this harm in the community and cutting jobs and so forth, and yet he was an insurance agent, and when his revenues went down and he didn't have enough to pay his employees, he knew he was going to be hurting the families that he was laying off, but he had to lay them off. And again, I think that's sort of where we are. We just simply don't have the resources going forward to keep all these facilities open and to keep operating the state government in the way that we have. In the past. So, thank you.
Representative Ryan.
Thank you. You know, there's a lot of different opinions and about this entire process, and we will have differences of opinion. One of the things I think that was telling, especially here in Rockford, and it's been borne out by discussions I've had with other law enforcement professionals, the fact that the Winnebago County Sheriff is there. Most people would think, what does the sheriff have to do with the closing of a mental health facility? Well, there's all kinds of secondary effects, with the closure of this and similar facilities, and that some of the people might end up in the criminal justice system. And I've heard that over and over again. I think many of you have. I think Senator Stevenson really hit it on the head with a lot of his points. We may not have a lot of time, but I think that these are things that really take time. A lot of things are happening. We're looking at maybe could see it. It's the fact that we had these economic impact studies of the effect of the closings on these communities and indeed the entire county. And I think that they were telling. Should that color the decisions that we make? Not totally, but it's good information to have, nonetheless, to have us make a really informed decision. And we're going a little too quickly. Testimony from the residents and workers was passionate. There's other things we have to consider as we make our decisions. But I just think that there's too many things that we have to take into consideration to move this quickly on the closure of these facilities. Finally, something else that I've heard is I've had legislative forums with hospitals, really all over the state in my district and outside of my district, is they wonder about their ability to take some of these patients on, and they wonder about the capacity of the community, whether they can build capacity in such a time frame to be able to absorb these patients. So, I wouldn't be voting for the closure of Singer for those reasons. I think we have to improve.
I'd like to pick up on something. If there are no other members who want to talk about Singer,
just quickly, and I'm happy to hear the discussion on the hastiness, because that's a concern that I have. But I'm also very happy to hear the discussion on what the spinoff is to closing the facility on the local counties, the health departments, the local health departments, which have been severely cut with their mental health beds. I know in Lake County, it's a huge concern for us, and people are thinking, goodness, that Elgin's not there yet, you know. But you have to look at your jails, and as a former county board chairman, I'm looking at Representative Tryon, you know the large numbers of people in our jails that come there because of mental health issues. And you're absolutely correct also, the local hospitals are struggling right now. There aren't very many beds, even in a large county like Lake, where we can take, you know, the mental health patients. So I think we have to think not only of the state, but we have to think of what we're doing as a spinoff to all the other areas of government and the safety of those communities and those mental health patients. So I'm happy to see that we are looking at everything and not wanting to move too hasty, because I'm not ready to move that quick either. Thank you.
Before you speak a second time, I want to share a couple thoughts. That is on the variable of time, we have the time shouldn't be pretense for not following another inclination, because we have the capacity to make a recommendation conditional on granting more time, just like we made a for Tinley Park, conditional on previously, when we did it 3 years ago, conditional on other things happening. They didn't happen, which is why we're having another hearing on Tinley Park next week. But to go to what, following up on what Representative Nankers had to say, you know, one of the last witnesses at the Singer hearing said that. I believe he was a former director who was retired. He said that he thought that the potential existed in the community to, in the provider community, to put together a not-for-profit corporation that could fill this role and run this facility and its operations and provide those services. Here is and that's, I think, the only time in any of these hearings, in a long time, I've heard somebody say, you know what, if you gave us the chance to come up with an alternative that was
where the state is able. So if you think about that kind of possibility, you know, the one, given the, it's indeed a very nice physical plant. Physical plant's in good condition. It's a beautiful campus. The real estate market is such that it would lend itself to the state actually being in a position through the Illinois Finance Authority, once that not-for-profit corporation was established with a consortium of the provider community, the state in turn could help that not-for-profit corporation access the credit markets and the acquisition of the campus by issuing debt to the Illinois Finance Authority. That would provide that not-for-profit corporation. You know, that's an area where the state could provide a real tangible benefit in making a transition. I think it's something that we haven't quite thought of before. Obviously, it takes more time to do that. I'd be willing to let the community go down that course. My guess is, however, I'm probably in a minority view on this issue, but I just want to raise it because, I mean, these choices get painted very starkly. And I think while we do this, Representative Becker said, have a limited range of tools available to us. If a community demonstrates a desire to have their providers coalesce around a not-for-profit corporation that can handle the transition, one area, we would, of course, not only want the funding for the clients to follow them, but we'd also be able to assist them in terms of accessing the credit markets and the cost of real estate. I think the state should also do the appraisal to find out what the cost of the campus is in order to help that not-for-profit facility, that not-for-profit corporation of providers locally to acquire it. So I just wanted to say that. I think Senator Snell turned back to Senator Severson, unless anybody else has an additional first comment, and then we'll wrap it up in the vote.
The point that you raised, Senator, about the possibility of a partial or some transition is something that has been discussed, which would have a cost to it. There is also the possibility of phasing in a program like this. We have a number of, as was mentioned, Singer is probably, as a physical plant, one of the most cost-effective facilities that are out there. And so there is the possibility of looking at leasing some of the space that's out there, which could be done now as a revenue generator, leasing some of that space to this organization that's already existing. As a phase in this type of program. But I do think it's important. Sometimes it's easy for some people who are in the suburbs who have 9 facilities in their area to say, we need to make tough decisions as long as our facilities all stay open. When you're in an area that's covering all central and northern Illinois and there is no other alternative but hours of traveling to say to everyone in that community, the law enforcement, families, we don't care. Our people don't have to travel, but we want you guys to travel hours to get care. Isn't fair, and as an organization, we need to look at what's fair for all the states and for the families of Illinois and the people who are there serving. And so, in this case, this is a cost-effective program that serves only one that serves all these counties, and in the absence of this facility, the only recourse is very expensive transportation costs and remodeling costs to expand more expensive facilities in the Chicago area to transfer these patients there. And so from a dollar standpoint, it does not make sense. The idea of how can we operate these facilities more cost-effectively, immediately, makes sense. services of any of these facilities, can they be transferred to the private sector over a period of time with a legitimate transition plan, as Chairman Schoenberg says, that is a possibility. But again, that's going to have upfront cost to it, and if the goal here is to try to save $50 million, that's not going to occur. So again, I would not recommend the closure of this, and that we instead work on a long-term plan to reduce our costs. Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you, Representative Negritz. And then we want to move it along. We have three other votes to take, and the Senate is scheduled to go in about 15, 20 minutes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would just like to respond that, I'm insensitive to that, which is why I supported revenues necessary to support state government at a level where we didn't have to make another $6.5 or $7 billion worth of these cuts. We only have to make $50 million or whatever, whatever the number is. But without this, we would have devastated state government and be cutting facilities all over the place. So to think that I'm not sensitive to that would be incorrect.
Thank you. Okay, we have a motion, and if there's no further discussion, we have a motion. It's been seconded on the closure of Singer Mental Health Center. Robert, will the clerk please call the roll? The motion is to close. So a yes vote is to close Singer. A no vote is to reject the governor's request. Clerk, please call the roll.
Representative Bellick?
No.
Senator Fergs?
No. No.
Senator Murphy?
No.
Representative Negritz?
Yes.
Representative Poe?
No.
Representative Riley?
No.
Senator Schmidt?
No.
Senator Schoenberg?
I've laid out how I could see this occurring, this transition occurring, and that's the rationale for my yes vote.
Senator Severson?
No.
Senator Trotter?
Yes.
Representative Tryon?
No.
Total of 3 voting yes, 8 voting no, not voting present. The commission recommends rejects the governor's request. Recommends that the Singer Mental Health Center remain open. Next facility we'll consider is the Illinois Youth Center at Murfreesboro. Is there a motion? Motion on Murfreesboro.
Is there a motion to recommend closure?
I'll move by Representative Negritz, seconded by Senator Trotter. Discussion on motion on Murfreesboro.
Mr. Chairman, going to Murfreesboro and going through this process, an eye-opening experience. Clearly, I believe that the model for youth detention and rehabilitation is changing, and we do not see a census in Illinois to keep all of the facilities operating currently the way they are. With that, I can also tell you that there is such a need for secure detention. It would be a shame to see a facility like Murfreesboro be closed when I think there are other things, much in the same way that you have said an outline for Singer. I've talked to the director about this, I've talked to one of the deputy governor, I've talked to Budget Director Vaught. I can show you in my county, McHenry County, and Florida County, where they have contracts with INS for secure detention facilities for INS detainees. One of our counties takes as many as 200
up into a farce, and I've listened to the lectures that we've got, and I've listened to everybody with their campaign speeches, these cultures, and their whole awe and surprise that this was gonna come to an end. You know, everyone is so shocked. I mean, I'm just impressed. I think everyone that represents these districts that did not vote for some funding to ensure that these most vulnerable people were taken care of should be voted out of office. All we've done is give them a platform and give us a whole bunch of hyperbole of why they should not be nested in, or should not be, their area should not be touched. That was not the concern when they were voting last May. Hard decisions had to be made, known that had to be made, and we had to make them now. So there's a story that should tug at everybody's heart, every place we go. But some hard decisions had to be made, and I think the members should now start making some of those hard decisions when people are really looking at them, their constituents are really looking at what they do and don't do here in Springfield. It's easy when they're not paying attention. And we got their attention. Do the right thing. Either close these places or come up with funding to ensure that we can keep them open until we can find some other alternatives. Other than that, this is, I mean, it's BS. Chickens have come home to roost, and the egg is on your face.
Representative Bell, and then Senator Murphy.
Thank you very much. I'm going to keep my comments brief because I mentioned them before about the costs and the age of the facilities. I'm a strong supporter of DJJ. I've worked hard to get the juvenile justice. I think one thing we learned by visiting Murfreesboro is that Redeploy Illinois has been a very successful program. We have reduced adolescents, and we need to move forward on that. And I'm for the rebalancing, supporting it. But that's why I made the point, you know, that I wanted to see what was at Pier Marquette, because I just see that Murfreesboro seem to be working well. I don't know about the Pier Marquette and the transformation. But the idea that when we left Murfreesboro, one of the staff people said, please, please send more money down and redeploy Illinois to Southern Illinois to work on those issues. So those are some of the things that we need to work on. But in the master plan of juvenile justice, we do need to close some of those facilities. We've done the drug courts, we've done the mental health courts. We have seen how we can reduce adolescent crime in Illinois. But without reviewing the process, I don't want to do the same thing that we have done in Illinois on other decisions on this population. I mean, we have spent months on ComEd, we've spent months on pensions, we've spent months on workers' comp. So we're going to take this issue that we've spent a lot of time on in creating the Juvenile Justice Department, and I want to make sure that what we do here is done the right way.
Thank you, Senator Murphy.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. You know, the administration is trying to deal with funding shortfalls, as Senator Trotter pointed out. And conceptually, as Representative Neckert pointed out, the concept of closing state-operated facilities, I think, is a reasonable one, and I think has to happen. And in fact, on a case-by-case basis, I intend to support the closure of this particular facility in this motion. That being said, Senator Trotter, the lecture about not being willing to cut in your own area lacks a certain amount of credibility when the Neighborhood Recovery Initiative, which is an indefensible $33 million of walking around money for your area, is still in the budget. In fact, despite efforts on a bipartisan basis to take it out, because Chicago area legislators wouldn't vote for the budget unless it was in it. So to come now and lecture those representing our area, I think is a little appropriate.
Excuse me, let's try to perhaps.
And look, if we're going to have a back and forth about this.
You know what? So I'm going to tell you that I was at fault for not dialing it down earlier. I'd like to stick to the matter at hand.
I appreciate that. I made my point.
No,
I do think
excuse me. Excuse me. Let's, like I said, I take responsibility for not narrowing the parameters of the discussion earlier.
I respect the
So let's just keep it to this facility.
I appreciate that. I respect the broader point made that you need to be willing to make tough decisions. I think this qualifies as one. I join you, Senator Trotter, in saying this is a facility that I think we need to support the administration on closing.
Thank you.
Any additional discussion on Illinois Center? Seeing none, there's a motion on the table. Recommend closure of the Illinois Center in Murfreesboro. Clerk, please call the roll.
Representative Bellick?
No.
Senator Furs?
No.
Representative McCarthy? Senator Murphy?
Yes.
Representative Nekritz?
Yes.
Representative Poe?
No.
Representative Riley?
No.
Senator Schmidt?
No.
Senator Schoenberg?
Aye.
Senator Severson?
Again, I'm going to vote no, but I agree that we need to be taking a systemic look at all of these, and there may be a need for some closures that needs to be done in a much more organized and in a manner that's going to make financial sense and fit into reality. So for now, I'm going to say no.
Senator Trotter?
Aye.
Representative Tryon?
No.
Total of 4 members voting yes, 7 members voting no, no members voting present. The request by the administration to close Murfreesboro, the commission's recommendation is against it. We'll next proceed to the Chester Mental Health Center. Is there a motion? Moved by anybody?
Well, I would make a motion to reject the plan.
This motion on the floor, motion I represent trying to reject the request of the closure of Chester, seconded by Senator Schmidt. Discussion. Discussion. Senator Trotter.
Yes. The reason why I believe we should reject the plan, at least in my mind, there is a uniqueness of Chester in this state, and certainly that uniqueness creates a tremendous need for that that place to remain open. Now, I say that with the caveat that it still doesn't meet all the needs to be the place that it should be, because I was really concerned when I was told that it's hard to get physicians to come down and work because of its remoteness to get the quality care that these individuals undoubtedly need. So I don't want to think that we have these people who are seriously mentally ill not getting treatment because they're in such a remote area. And that, you know, just harkens back to some kind of medieval thing. Are we just housing people down here because we don't want them in our neighborhoods without trying to address their mental health problems? So there's needs some more dollars, if not at the very least, or a more concerted effort to get everything that Chester needs to be the facility that it should be.
Thank you, Representative Frank.
There are two facilities that I think we just couldn't close, and it's incumbent upon us to find the resources to keep them open. One is Chester, one is Logan. I ask the director in both those situations if they thought that this was an appropriate course of action for us to take, and the answer in both cases was not action. It was necessary because of the lack of money. It was probably not a prudent decision. Clearly, it's only maximum security facility for the criminally insane and those who are not fit to stand trial. When you tour it, you find what is there with the staff that is trained and in place. It's a very, very unique staff. Most of the staff at Chester are men. There's only 4% of the
staff there at Lemon, there's a reason for that, because it's a very violent prisoner, it's a very violent nature. We heard stories a couple years ago where they had to close off all the serving lines because an inmate grabbed a knife, jumped over the serving lines, and put a knife through the neck of the chef and killed him. And they had to close that off. That all happened in a matter of a minute. We had testimony from one of them who were there that were beaten unconscious and raped. These are not the kind of prisoners we should put in Alton or any other facility. We have a facility in Chester that was designed for this. It's working well. I was impressed by the management of it. I was impressed by the professionalism of the employees there, and upset that, disrupt that in the prison community. I think it would be disastrous for Illinois, and it would be the wrong decision for us to make. So I definitely support rejecting this plan.
Any further discussion?
Thank you. I agree with the comments of Senator Trotter and Representative Tryon. And after visiting, again, you come away with a couple of comments. Those were two of the comments that I came away with, too. And I know that the staff and the agencies had told us that they could take these people into some other facilities. Into the fourth hour of that hearing, when the woman, the young woman, testified of being beaten into a coma, and how only 4% of those people there were women, but the other three that they had recommended that they go to facilities had 60% women. I mean, those are things that we're talking about here, that when you talk about real transitions, you need to take more than 3 weeks to talk about these populations, especially the severely mentally ill in Chester.
Thank you. Is there any further discussion? Seeing none, please call the roll. The motion on the table is to reject the request for closure by the administration of the Chester Mental Health Center. So a yes vote is a no vote, and a no vote is a yes vote. You had to say that loud just so I had to start something. Clerk, please call the roll.
Representative Bellick?
Yes.
Senator Ferks?
Yes.
Representative McCarthy? Senator Murphy?
Yes.
Representative Negritz?
Yes.
Representative Poe?
Yes.
Representative Riley?
Yes.
Senator Schmidt?
Yes.
Senator Schoenberg?
Yes.
Senator Severson?
Yes.
Senator Trotter?
Yes.
Representative Tryon?
Yes.
Well, 11 members voting yes, no members voting no, no members voting present. The commission recommends against the governor's request to close the Chester Mental Health Center. The final order of business on this part of the agenda is a vote discussion on the governor's request to close the Chad Mabley Developmental Center in Dixon. Is there a motion? Representative Neckerts?
Mr. Chairman, I'll make a motion to recommend the motion.
Is there a second? Seconded by Senator Trotter. Is there any discussion? Representative Tryon?
You know, I listened to the debate at the hearing between ARC and some of the advocate groups that support closure and the return of all of the residents of MEDD facility we have to a community-based model. And while I think it's unfortunate that there would be any resident in any of our community or any of our institutional-based facilities that would be at a high enough functioning level to be placed in a community-based model, to have them still there is fundamentally wrong. But I look at the Mabley Center as not really an institutional-based model because it's a series of group homes. And it is, in fact, in most cases, the buildings house 12 or less residents. You'll see that in a community-based setting. The facility is new, it's well-maintained, it's providing a sound therapeutical treatment as well as providing, I think, a good
atmosphere for somebody to live in, especially those who have or impaired eyesight. So what I look at mainly is the cost of the labor there is what's driving the cost of the facility to be uncompetitive with the community-based model. Well, I think we should explore bringing in maybe a contract provider, maybe looking at some of the larger GP community-based providers and asking them if they want to come in and contract out some of the facilities there. I would certainly be open to that. I disagree with ARC and some of the advocate groups that you can get rid of all of the institutional-based beds, because I think there are residents there, and we saw them, that came out of community-based and back into institutional and placed back in community and back into institutional because community-based housing wasn't a good fit. My second problem with closing either this facility or Jacksonville is they don't really have a plan to look at. While the intent is to put it into a community-based model, the community-based providers are telling us that on the revenue that you're providing to give them to maintain some of these residents isn't enough to maintain the residents. My community-based providers are telling me they could never do this by March, that they would have to go out and purchase a facility, they would have to negotiate a rate, they would have to be able to plan to integrate into accepting these residents into a community-based model. So I'm willing to look at a plan that the governor has and then decide whether we're going to close these if we're going to put people in a community-based model. But even the director testified that in areas where he has been involved in facility closure, it took at least a year. And that 3 months is very aggressive. The industry is telling us 3 months is not even possible. So, you know, I'm trying to weigh this. And right now, you know, I don't see a plan that's adequate enough to place these residents into a community-based model. And I think Mabley was a good facility, needs to remain open, and certainly maybe needs to transcend into community-based provider's hands. But those beds, I think, are very important in providing a need that's not going to go away.
Thank you, Senator Ferris, Senator Murphy. Is there anyone else who's going to wish to be recognized? Representative Beller? Maybe Senator Severson. If he can get the Senate to hold up on going into session so that he can get his 2 cents. Thank you.
Go ahead. Thank you very much, Mr. Co-Chairman. I share a lot of concerns with my colleague who just spoke. I would like to see a plan in place for this transition. Concerned about shutting it down too quickly, but I differ in thinking that I agree with the goals of ARC that we'd like to move, and I don't think closing these facilities is going to take away all institutional options. And so even though I voted against these both the previous facility closures, and even though I don't want to see this rushed, I would like to make conditional on a plan being in place. Let's not rush this, let's not leave you without support. But I think that if we all vote no today, it's maintaining the status quo. I would like to push towards and move towards community-based group housing. So that's what I'll be voting yes.
Thank you, Senator.
I think Senator Ferris has a good analysis on this. I mean, there's competing interests here that I think various votes have been laid out pretty well between a concern about how quickly this is going, how well it's going to be handled, versus weariness with waiting to change things. And I think there is somewhat of a balance to be struck on this. I look regionally between at Mabley and Tinley and think in the near term, perhaps in the long term, we need to transition out of both. In the near term, I think at a minimum, we should transition out of one. My inclination between the two is to vote to close Tinley rather than Mabley, so that'll be my vote today. But make some tough decisions, and he's certainly qualified.
Thank you, Representative.
Thank you very much, and I agree on the tough decisions, and I think that it's something that we need to do within the next 6 months. But again, in 3 weeks, it's very hard to make that decision to make sure that that fragile population, and again, the redesign, the blueprint, there was a part in that that everybody cannot go into a group home. I would say probably of the facilities that we visited, maybe half of those people could go into group homes. So I'm willing to take that on. I mean, we visited, you know, over half the institutions in Illinois right now. Why not go further and have a commission or task force that's really going to put the time into making the decisions right? I'm willing to do that, whatever it takes, because I do support, you know, bringing down that population in facilities. Mably was Dixon, and Dixon used to have 1,500 people in it with, I think they said, five staff. They used to be hosed down by hoses as showers. Now they are in group homes, and the testimony that Representative Tryon pointed to, three of those families had had their children in over six community facilities and had been kicked out of every one, and Mably was the savior for them. Those are the people that need something like that, but there's probably half the people that don't need it. But in a three-week decision, I just cannot make that decision at this point as to what is right. Schoed, Jacksonville, Mably.
Mr. Chairman, I said Tinley and Jacksonville for the
weed wish.
Thank you.
Thanks, Senator.
We do. We didn't want to embarrass you.
Thank you.
Senator Sears. I'd like to echo what Representative Tryon had discussed. When we talk about model facilities, when we talk about we don't want people institutionalized, and here's a setting that is in a SILA type settings where we have smaller units, where it's a setting that is open and conducive and something that the families are really comfortable with. Now, again, the issue is, can there be cost savings? Is there a way to reduce those costs? That is something that needs to be looked at. But to look at closing a facility that really has done everything right to transition into becoming a model facility of similar settings to what SILAs are like, I think that would make a mistake. I think the people who work hard to really make that a great facility. So we would not look at this one, at least as the first one, but I would prefer to find ways to reduce the cost of these facilities instead of closure.
Thank you. Is there anyone else who wishes to be recognized before the Senate goes into session? Representative Riley.
I just want to say as we can, you know, all of these decisions are tough, and sometimes when people use the cliche, hope you make the tough decision. Closing these facilities, if you voted to close them, is a tough decision. Keeping them open is a tough decision. We have a tough job. And I don't think it should be minimized by cliche and anecdote. Both decisions are tough. Thank you.
Thank you. I'd like to bring a point, concluding point to the discussion on this subject. I think that, and I will take a vote, I think that the truncated time frame is not the area where you can necessarily assign blame to the administration. Statute, after all, under the Illinois Facilities Act, lays out a very aggressive schedule by which all of this has to be done, including the economic impact statements, which are very detailed and precise. None of the data that we've been provided from anybody could be characterized as fluff or rhetoric. I think there's sound quantitative analysis done. Whether you agree with it or not is an entirely separate question. So I do take exception with the administration's approach is that I think on the execution side, if there's a desire to show progress in transitioning out of DD facilities, I think the administration would have been far better served submitting
Representative Bellick?
Yes.
Senator Ferks?
Yes.
Representative McCarthy? Senator Murphy?
No.
Representative Nekritz?
Yes.
Representative Poe?
No.
Representative Riley?
No.
Senator Schmidt?
No.
Senator Schoenberg?
No.
Senator Severson?
No.
Senator Schreier?
Yes.
Representative Tryon?
No.
Total of 3 members voting yes, 8 members voting no. The commission rejects the administration's request to close the meeting. There had been the final order of business, there had been a request made yesterday to move off this, move back the start time for Timothy Park. Unfortunately, several of the commission members have additional scheduling commitments that day, myself included. So moving it back complicates matters. We would potentially lose some commission members. So we're going to keep the start time the same.